But here at All Saints, we are looking for 3 or 4 weeks at the presence of God. And the reason is because first and foremost, the Lord wants us to focus on relationship, our relationship with Him. Yes, He wants us to do stuff for Him and for Him and with Him, but this needs to come second to a deep and abiding personal relationship with God, which brings us again to our verse of the year. Yeah, the verse of the year is going to come up. There we are. There we are, the verse of the year, which is actually down the side, if you notice, just as a little reminder, it's down the side of your notices for the rest of the year, okay? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And if you want to have one of those little bookmarks, there are some on the table there. And the point is that relationship is key. Before we do anything, we have to be something with God, okay? And that relationship has to be earthed in a profound experience of the presence of God. And I've shared this so many times before, but it's such a good quote. I'm going to give it again. This is Pete Gregg, founder of 24/7 Prayer. The pursuit of the presence of God has been, without exception or exaggeration, the prevailing passion and common purpose of all the saints in every generation since the time of Christ. Study their lives, and you will quickly discover that the universal, all-consuming motivation which fueled everything else they did was a desire for the presence of God. And 2 weeks ago, we looked at the life of Jacob, and we saw how it was the presence of God at key moments of his life that changed him from basically a bit of a con man to someone who followed the Lord diligently. And there were moments when Jacob said, God is in this place. That's what won his heart around. And then last week, I know you had a great time here. Tim Silk was sharing about the life of Elijah. And Elijah had a really hard time of it. And at one point was completely washed up. And Tim unpacked how God's presence restores our soul and turns us around. And I know it was great because I listened to it in the car yesterday. So you can always pick up our sermons on the website. Well, today I want to look at holiness, what holiness is, and how the presence of God shows up our sinfulness, and then how the presence of God through the blood of Jesus makes us holy. And the first thing I want to get clear is what we're talking about, and I think we've talked about this before, but if you ask someone to define what holy is, they'll probably mean that they say something means somebody particularly religious or pure or sinless or clean. And actually, the Hebrew word for holy, which is kadosh, doesn't mean quite that. It means literally set apart for a special purpose. Now, under the Old Covenant, God wanted to explain that he was a holy God, and he wanted the people of Israel to be a holy people. That is, specially set apart for him. So he asked his people to put up a massive visual aid. There it is, the tabernacle, set up in the desert, so it was eventually replaced by a permanent temple, and that illustrated, well, at least four things. First of all, that God is a holy God, utterly set apart from humanity. That's what holy means, utterly set apart. So you can't just run into the presence of God casually. But secondly, God passionately wanted a relationship with his people. So the next thing is, he's going to make a way for them to approach him. And finally, as the people do come and make a relationship, they become holy. They become set apart for him as well. And that was what the reading from Hebrews 9 was all about. So under the covenant, the whole arrangement of this tabernacle, you can see it there, this portable tent set up by Moses in the wilderness under God's direction. The tabernacle itself was holy, that is to say, it was set apart for a particular reason, to worship God. But you just didn't wander into the presence of God, because God dwelt with his people in a special place, right in the Holy of Holies, you know, where the fire's coming up. And so they couldn't just wander in. If they wanted to approach him, they needed to prepare themselves. And God made a way for them to do that, to offer sacrifices. Now, we know from Hebrews 9, verse 9, the sacrifices they gave didn't cleanse them from their sins. Okay? Only Jesus' sacrifice did that. It was kind of retrospective. Jesus' sacrifice was retrospective. But what it did was help them realize the holiness of God, and they needed to prepare themselves. And he engaged in that, in helping to prepare them by doing all these sacrifices and ceremonies and offerings and things like that. And in the presence of God, they realized how sinful they were, and God in his mercy gave them a way to approach him and make a relationship with him so they too could be set apart for God. In other words, they too could be holy. And there's something about being in the presence of God that reminds us of our unworthiness. Have you noticed that? There's an amazing story in Luke chapter 5 about the call of Peter. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, that's Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. When he finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish, their nets began to break. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man." Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. See, what happens here is this. There's Peter going about his everyday life. He's a fisherman. They've been out all night. They catch nothing. Then Jesus tells Peter and his mates to do something really odd, really counterintuitive. He tells him to go and fish in deep water. Now, I've actually seen this work for myself. If you want to catch fish in Lake Galilee, you don't fish in deep water. There aren't many fish there. You fish in the shallows, near the bank. But Peter says, "Okay, Lord, well, you don't know much about fishing and I do, but I'll give it a go." So he obeys Jesus, and suddenly there's this miraculous catch of fish, and then suddenly the penny drops. Peter realizes from this miraculous catch of fish that Jesus is Lord. Peter realizes that he is in the presence of someone totally holy, totally set apart from God, you see, because he's done this amazing miracle. But also Peter realizes something else. He realizes his own sinfulness. Can you see what Jesus does? He says, "Okay, you realize who you are. What I'm now going to do is I'm going to set you apart. I'm going to make you holy. I'm going to give you something to do." Can you see? So Peter realizes his own sinfulness, and Jesus scoops him up and says, "I'm setting you apart." Isn't that lovely? You're going to fish for men. Not fishing for fish anymore, fishing for men. Because, friends, Jesus has done it all. The glorious news of the gospel is that we can't make ourselves holy, but Jesus can. We can't make ourselves holy, but Jesus can. Hebrews 9. When Christ came as high priest, he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, so obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls sanctify them so they're outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, can cleanse our consciences for acts that lead to death, so we may serve the living God. Can you see? Jesus picks us up, cleans us, and then sets us apart for him. For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called, that's us, who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. Can you see what Jesus did? He comes in power, totally holy, totally set apart from God. And when he meets us, his blood sets us free to be holy and set apart from God as well. We meet with Jesus and he does all this amazing stuff. Just like Peter. Just like that happened to Peter. But if you had to encompass redemption in a single verse, this is my favorite verse in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him, Christ, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Can you see? We come into his presence, we realize our own sinfulness, but then his blood cleanses us from every sin. So we exchange our filthy clothes for his righteousness. You know, as Paul says, we become the righteousness of God. What an amazing exchange. You couldn't make that up, could you? Could not make that up. It's astonishing. Now, what does the Lord want from us this morning? Might have wondered what the pebbles are for. Has everyone got a pebble? Hold you up. Everyone got a pebble? Anybody not got a pebble that wants a pebble? We've all got pebbles. Great. Okay. Put them down for a second. This came out of our prayer time yesterday morning. And my dear friend and sister, Andrea, had a picture and a word. She said, don't mention her name, but I'm going to because I think it's, you know, it's, thank you, Andrea, for hearing from the Lord and speaking it out. And she had a word and a picture that I want to share with you. And we're going to share this, and then I'm going to tell you a story, and then we're going to worship. And then I want us to do something with the pebbles. Is that all right? This is the word that Andrea had. I saw people streaming into All Saints as if it were as if for a service. They were all bowed down with burdens, moving slowly, sadly. The picture was in drab colours. I understood the Lord was sad to see this, that he wants us to lay our burdens at the foot of his cross, for he's already carried them to us. And Andrew explained it was as though people were coming into church wearing kind of heavy clothes and jackets that were weighing them down. I wonder if you feel weighed down this morning by worry or sin or by responsibility or anxiety. The word continued, Jesus wants us to see who he is, the glorious Jesus, Savior, Son of the living God, fully man and fully God. Jesus, the only true righteous man who's ever lived. Jesus who gave his life on the cross as a sacrifice to pay for the sin of every person who's ever lived on earth. God, the God of the whole universe, his heavenly Father, accepted Jesus' sacrifice of his life and raised him to life again. As we lift our eyes and see Jesus, our Savior, we can then receive his glorious new life, new clothing that he gives each one who will believe and trust in him. Glorious new clothing speaks of glorious new life with him. And Andrea saw that each person took off their heavy overcoats, or maybe Jesus took them off and were given wonderful new light bright clothing instead. Glorious. And then she shared some verses, this time from Hebrews 2. Let me read these to you. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels. We see Jesus. So that through God's grace, he should die for everyone. For Jesus is the one who leads them to salvation. He purifies people from their sins. And both he and they, those who are made pure, all have the same Father. That's why Jesus is not ashamed to call them by his family. Jesus himself became like them, shared their human nature. He did it so through his death. He might destroy the devil, who has the power over death, and in this way set free those who were slaves all their lives because of their fear of death. Now he can help those who are tempted because he was himself was tempted and suffered. And finally this. Jesus understands our pains, trials, and suffering because he was fully man. By raising him from the dead, Jesus showed us that Jesus is the only one by whom we can be saved. Jesus is God's appointed Savior. When anyone believes in and puts their trust in Jesus, he saves them from all that weighs them down, sin, sickness, sorrows. We call it the great exchange. On the cross, Jesus took all these things, and the punishment for the sins of all mankind for all time was laid on Jesus by God the Father. In exchange, God gives to all who will trust in Jesus the glory and blessings due Jesus, who lived a spotless life without sin. Please lay your burdens down at the cross of Christ and receive the new clothing of salvation that Jesus gives you so that you can walk with him through life with a capital L. What an amazing word. What an amazing word. It's good when the preacher doesn't have to prepare his sermon because God's given the word the day before, isn't it? Isn't that good? Friends, God can do it. So what I want us to do is I want us to spend some time in the presence of God. And the way we're going to do that, we're going to worship. Giles and the band, would you like to come up, guys? And as we worship, and the Holy Spirit comes in power, and he will come in power because we're going to make some space for him, as we wait in his presence, it may be that God will identify for you a burden or a sin or a worry that's weighing you down, like you're holding a burden. And if God does lay something on your heart, I want you to take the stone you've been given, okay? Stone you've been given. And identify the burden with that stone. And I want you to come out and throw it down. Cast it before the Lord. Cast it on the Lord, because he carries every burden, you see. His blood covers every sin. And as we worship, just get out of your seat and throw it in the bucket at the front. And if you'd like some prayer, we'll have the ministry team over here to minister to us. And we'd love to pray for you. Is that all right? Are you up for that?
Yes.
You're up for that? Okay. So look, what I'd like us to do, would you like to stand up? We're going to worship. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, please come. Lord, we need your presence now. Lord, we thank you that you lift burdens from us in an extraordinary, extraordinary way. Lord, thank you that your blood covers every sin. Whatever worry, whatever anxiety, whatever burden, whatever sin we are suffering with or bearing, thank you that you are here to bear them and take them away.